Got your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. And praise the Lord will help you this morning. It's, when's the last time I was here? What month
February.
Is February, okay. I forgot what month it is. It's what, August? It's August, yeah, okay. Well, anyway, I appreciate Brother Mark having me back. And I hope I can be a blessing and help to you this morning. I want to say this. I don't know if you've read my newsletter since I was here, the last one I sent out. And don't know if you read it. Did you read the church or anything?
I told him you had some saved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had. We got a new prison that we're doing. It's Red Onion State Prison up in Virginia. And we started up there, I guess, about 4 months ago, maybe five. We've had four saved at that prison. It's going really good. We're up there every Friday morning. Now, this prison's a little different. I like to tell them about this prison. First time it ever happened, the new warden at that prison, when he got there, he contacted his chaplain, and he named me and my brother-in-law by name, and he said, I want you to get these fellas come down up here and preach for us. And chaplain said, I've never had that to happen before. So that's a blessing. Amen. Just getting in there because the warden liked you. We'd been at a smaller place where he was at. It's Church of God. And but I believe he loves the Lord. He wants to do something for the Lord. So he's trying to give him some help in that prison. And I know when we started preaching up there that the chaplain was telling us, he said, before you fellas came up here, he said that this prison, every inmate would come to me would be wanting something. He'd be griping about something. He said, since you've been preaching here, he said, what they're doing now, he said, they're talking to him about getting saved. They're talking to him about sins that's in their life and things of that nature, how to deal with all that. And trust me, y'all's heard me preach a bunch, and it ain't me. I'll guarantee you that. Yeah, the Bible will do something. When you have people, y'all hear it on a regular basis. When you got something on a regular basis, it's kind of like eating good chicken, you know. You just eat it and eat it so much, and you just think, man, it's just chicken. But if you got some bad chicken and then you get some good chicken, it's going to be good. Amen? Because we got guards in that prison said we've never had preaching like that in this prison. Never. And, you know, people get a steady diet of it. They take it for granted sometimes. And we've got them coming to service. So, well, they have to be there anyway. But they said the Lord's really stirring among them guards, too. This past week, as one of them after church, I got done preaching up there, and he said, me and them other guards was back there, he said, we was having a service of our own. He said, wiping tears, just enjoying the Lord. And he said, they started talking about some of these fellas in the service. They said, we've seen God dealing with them. So we know them boys. That one over there, they'd call his name or something, he's backslid. Said, the Lord's really dealing with him today. And some of these folks, some of these boys need to get saved. And said, God's dealing with them. So we're just, we think we're going to see some more fruit from that. And it's just such a blessing because this prison's a little different than most prisons we go into. The prison where I'm a chaplain, that's a max unit. It's Northeast Correctional Mountain City. It's a maximum security unit. But this particular prison, Red Onion, the worst inmates in the state, they put them in this prison. Now, some of you might remember the D.C. sniper and all that stuff. He's in prison there. They've got terrorists in that prison. And so it's a little different. And they've got a dog up there that I love to tell everybody about. When I first saw this dog, I thought, that dog's crazy. He barks all the time. You know how a dog, when he's mad, he's got a mad bark. You know, just like kids. You know, you can tell if they're sick or just wanting attention or what. This dog barks like he wants to kill somebody all the time. And so this dog, I asked him, I said, does that dog ever shut up? And it's a big old German Shepherd. It's a huge dog. And they said, that dog barks like it all the time. They said that dog's on Ritalin. They got him on dog Ritalin. And said he attacks his trainer sometimes. And I said, we used to shoot dogs like that. Just get us another dog. That's kind of what we used to do a dog. I used to shoot that dog and get you another dog. And but it ain't got no tail. And I told him, I said, well, I guess if somebody cut my tail off, I'd be mad too. He said, that dog chewed his own tail off. That's crazy dog right there. I stay away from that dog. He comes by, I like looking at him and watching him. I want to see him bite somebody. I just want to see what it's going to be like, you know. I don't want him biting me. I'll push my brother-in-law in front of me. He ain't biting me. But anyway, I mean, this dog, they had a fight up there, and everybody just hits the ground. They're on the yard, and they're on their face, because if they don't hit the ground up there, they shoot them. And so anyway, this dog, he's dragging this guard down through them units. He's wanting to eat somebody. They wouldn't let us in the units. I just wanted to see him attack somebody. I just thought that'd be pretty cool, you know. But anyway, back to the good stuff. Like I said, we have services there. And like I said, we had four saved. And it's a little different. Those inmates, trust me, there's me in there that's 20-year-old. They're never going home. And they're already considered one of the worst people in the state of Virginia. And most of them, if not all of them, are never going home. And I thought 36, 40 years from now, when they're my age, they're going to be sitting in the same building. Now, I'm telling you, that is a hopeless situation. And the only thing that's going to give them any peace of mind at all is being saved. And those guys, I mean, we've had them coming up to us, and they said, man, you just don't know how much we needed that. Sometimes it's just, you know, you do stuff on a regular basis. We've been around so much good stuff so long that we forget. Sometimes we get weary and well-doing. They just want somebody to do well around them. Yeah. You know, when your head's in the cloud all the time, it's dark cloud, and all you see is wickedness and filth and just turmoil and trouble all the time. If that's all you see, that's all you're accustomed to. And just somebody just comes by and says the just a few words of encouragement and kind of lets you know, hey, man, there's hope in this thing, and it's not over with yet. It kind of makes you glad. Kind of makes you glad that there's people like that in the world. So don't be weary in your well-doing. Amen? And I know when we go in there, you know, and ain't none of them boys, none of them prisons I go to there for skipping Sunday school, none of them. But at this prison, they have to have two, sometimes three officers in the service with us, and they're holding a gun on them while we're preaching to them. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's a pretty dire situation there, but I know what the Bible does for you. The Bible always works. It always helps. If most everybody in this church, if you went to the churches I went to, you would come back here and thank God you got a preacher like you got, and you got a church like you go to. And it's hard to see when you're here every weekend. Sometimes I wouldn't recommend doing it very often, but maybe once a year when you're on vacation, just find you a good liberal church to go to and just sit in there and listen to it. I'm talking about there's Baptist churches I preach in I told them I would never join. Amen. I have people criticize me and said, you preach over there? I said, yeah, because I'm only preaching over here all year long. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. You preach in some of these churches, they've got so accustomed to nobody preaching, singing like y'all was doing. To you, it's just stuff you hear all the time. Singing like that is such a blessing to so many people. Most of them, even when they're singing, if a fly got in that place, son, it'd sound like a helicopter, you know. They just sing so low, and they sing so lifeless, and it's so dead. And they get in and just go through the motions. Man, this thing's real. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, there's people probably in this building that's in trouble. They're in trouble with God, and they don't think they are. And there's probably people in this building that they're in trouble with something else. And you're in a good place to get you some help, man. Right. This is a good place to get some help. And I thank God personally myself for churches like this. Y'all pray for me. You paid me more money than you never get out of me. And, you let me come by. And we are paying me today. I just want to let y'all know that. I just want to see if y'all's with me on that, all right? You're just looking at me like you're about ready to go to sleep. I know my voice kind of monotone today, but just kidding there. But y'all have done so much for me, and there's things that you don't see that I do get to see. And it's such a blessing. I tell people all the time, you know, they'll ask us how we get paid. And I'll just tell them it's people like you that pay people like me to go over and preach like I do. And it's the Lord that does the work, amen? And he allows us to put our money in something that's producing something. Ain't you glad you ain't throwing your money away? They had a fight last night. Between those two guys, they got $130 million. I'd fight them boys all day long for that kind of money, son. I'd call them out, their daddies out, their mamas. I'd fight the whole crew all week long, all day long, for $130 million. And ain't neither one of them worth it. Amen? But, you know, there's people who are throwing down billions of dollars that thing generates. And I'm thinking, they just wasting their money. You ain't wasting your money. Amen? But anyhow, for whatever that's worth, I just want to try to preach today. I don't know how long I'll preach, know how long I'll be able to put up with it. But I'll guarantee you I can preach longer than you can put up with me. All right? Genesis chapter 8. I want you to look with me, if you will, in verse number 20. I told Brother Mark, the Lord has put this on my heart. And I certainly hope it'll be a blessing to you. But the Bible said in verse number 20 of Genesis chapter 8. Oh, yeah, and Vicki and Rhett, they're not with me because he's got to do something at church. They got to do something at church today, and he's got to go back to school tomorrow. So for anybody that's interested in that, amen. I've usually got them with me, but they ain't with me now. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 20. And Noah building an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Father, I pray that you'd help us today to be a blessing to your people. I pray that you'd edify the body of Christ. I pray you'd exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I don't know who sets before me what their situation is, but God, I pray that you'd save them if they're lost. I pray that they would get straightened out today, Lord, if they've got sidetracked. And Lord, for those that's serving you and trying to be as sanctified as they can, Lord, I pray that you'd just give them something today that would conform them to your image. I pray you touch us, touch our body, help us, Lord, just to honor you. Lord, realizing that without you, we have no ability whatsoever to preach today. And I pray you take the word of God and let it fall on fertile ground today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to try to preach today just for a little while on the subject of the altar. Now, the altar is a very important place. It's over 300 times in the Bible that God mentions the altar. And most of those times, it saved people that is meeting God at that altar. Now, there's some churches you go to that the altar is never, ever used. Now, I know that's not the case around this church. And again, that's something that this church is accustomed to. You're accustomed to see people going to the altar. And that's a good thing. Because when people stop going to the altar, it's usually telling you something about what's going on at the house, what's going on in their heads, what's going on in just their plans for life. It'll tell you that this is not important anymore. But Noah here, the first time the altar is actually mentioned in the Bible. Now, Cain and Abel had an altar, and they used that altar. But when it talks about God's people coming to the altar, the first time the word altar is used is here with Noah. And Noah was by far not a perfect man, but he was a man, I believe, that loved God. And I believe he's a man that loved his family, and that's a good thing, but you find him on the altar. And the Bible said that Noah built this altar to the Lord. When he was building this thing, he was putting it together, and he was saying, this is where I'm going to talk to God. That's a good thing. Amen. There's been times in my life, and I'll preach about me a little bit, and you just see if you fit in here anywhere, all right? There's been times in my life that I've neglected my altar, my time with the Lord, and I've just kind of said, well, I'll take care of that later. It's kind of like you get up in the morning and you start out your day, you have every intention of getting with God, maybe reading your Bible, maybe praying, and before you know it, you're busy with school, you're busy with work, you're busy with family, you're busy with a lot of stuff, and before you know it, the sun's going down and you're wore out. Amen? And you're thinking, I didn't get in there today, and trust me, that's a trick. That's something that the devil will use on you, a device, if you will, about all this stuff that we just got to get done. Can I tell you, the only thing that's going to matter at the end of the day, when the day is truly over and your life's race is run, is really how much time I spent with the Lord and this time at the altar. Amen. Now, Noah here, of course, as we get into this, you'll find out that Noah had a reason to build this altar. And the Bible said that when he built this altar to the Lord, that he took these clean beasts and he offered them up on the altar. And the Lord, he said, smell a sweet savor. I believe God likes it when we go to the altar. When you first came into the tabernacle in the wilderness, the first thing you saw was the altar. That's where that sacrifice was laid. And as that smoke would go up, God would smell the scent of that sacrifice, and that was a pleasing odor in the nostrils of God. He enjoyed the fact that his people, that's the first thing they saw when they came into the house of God in the wilderness. Amen. And Noah, I want to preach to you today about an altar of thanksgiving that Noah had. Now, Noah was a man that was in a day that was totally different than the day that you and I live in. I'm talking about totally different than the day that you and I live in. Noah could honestly say that things were not the same as when he was a young boy. When he got old, the whole world had turned their back on God. Everybody but Noah himself was just living wicked and ungodly. Thank God for the fact that I don't live in a world like that. Sometimes up there at the prison, you know what I do? I stay around bad things and bad people so much that sometimes I just have to take a few days off, man. I'm tired of hearing about how their families was and how they wound up in prison and seeing and hearing all that they see and hear on a regular basis. I get like Lot. My soul gets vexed and I have to go somewhere and just get away from all that for a while and just get around good people. One of the reasons you come down here is to fellowship with God's people. You should never rush in and rush out. Amen. Part of church is fellowship. Just getting down here and just getting with people that are good. Amen. And there are some good people down at the house of God. I know the bad ones are here, but I like to focus on the good ones. Amen. But Noah couldn't find nobody like that. And the Bible said that Noah lived in a day that the Bible said in chapter 6, he said that the whole world had turned their back on God. Now I want you to think about this. Noah, the Bible said in verse number 8 of Genesis chapter 6, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And after he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, he began to walk with the Lord. That's the only way you can do it too. When you find grace, that's the only way you can walk is with the Lord. Amen. The only time you'll ever have fellowship with God is when you have an encounter with grace and it saves you by his wonderful grace. Amen. But the Bible said in verse number 12 that God looked upon the earth in chapter 6 and he said it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. Could you imagine living in a world where there wasn't no good people left, but you're the only one? Now, I mean, it didn't make him halt it. It didn't make him feel like he was something special. But the Bible said he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When God was going to destroy that whole place, he picked him out
Friend, can I tell you something? I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking out of the 7 billion people on this planet, there was one day in heaven that God Almighty, He picked me out of the crowd, and He started dealing my soul. Yeah, you know what I seem to realize this morning? I tell people when God starts dealing with you, how lucky you are that out of the 7 billion people on this planet, God Almighty reached down, He tapped you on the shoulder, and He said, we need to do a little talking, amen. Because trust me, not everybody's ready to get saved today. When I go in that prison, I go in there sometimes, and I know that all of them are not ready to get saved. I'm just out there soul hunting, amen. I just know there's somebody that's out there. And every once in a while, I'll run up on somebody that'll tell me how God found them in that place. Amen. I sat down with a guy here about a month ago, and he looks rough. He'd been in prison for 30-something years. He got saved about 3 years ago. He sat down and he started talking to me. He said, preach on, tell you what the Lord has done for me. He said, look here, I want to tell you, 30-something years ago, I took a gun, and he said, I shot 3 men, I killed 2 of them. And he said, I've been here ever since. He said, in this prison, I've sold drugs. He said, I've stabbed people. He said, I've lived as wicked as you possibly can. He said, they've got a level 6 in the state of Tennessee. He said, death row is level 5. He said, I've lived on level 6. He said, they'll let death row have things that they won't let people on level 6 have. He said, I sat back there, and he said, it took them away. He said, they never could break me. He said, but one day, he said, the Lord started dealing with my heart, and he started weeping, and he started crying. And he said, I want to tell you about a dream that I had. And this old boy just rough. He said, I could see me in my dream. He said, I was nothing more than just old rotten meat. He said, an old hog come by. And he said, that hog snipped me, and he wouldn't eat me. And he said, I'm watching all this in my dream, and I'm thinking, yeah, and I'm talking to a nut. And then he said, an old skunk come by, and he smelled me, and he said, he wouldn't even eat me. And he said, but in my dream, he said, the Lord came by, and he said, he picked me up just like I am and just like I was, and he said, he saved me in my dream. And he started telling that how God had just saved him and changed his life. He said, they'll tell you in here, I just soon stab a man, has to look at him. He said, but since I got saved, God has put something in my heart. Can I tell you, friend, what a blessing it is when you hear somebody that's saying like that and talking like that while he's sitting in a prison cell knowing he's never going home. Hey, I'll guarantee you this salvation is special to a man like that. Amen. I'm like Adrian Rogers. I believe that most sinners nowadays are a bunch of egomaniacs strutting their way to hell thinking they're too good to go. Amen. Some, we've got it good. We can't see the forest for the trees. Amen. Amen. Look here, God has been good to us. Sometimes it would do you good just to remember where the Lord found you. Some of you young people in here, and I'm glad your life is good. My son's life is good. Look here, he's sitting listening to me preach this very thought I'm getting ready to give to you. And he knows it to be the truth. I said, most of you have never slept on a hard bed. You've never had a growling belly. You've always lived in an environment that is productive for you to flourish and to go forward. Every need you've ever had has always been met. Friend, I'm telling you, you don't know nothing about real trouble. I praise God for that. You're driving better cars to school than your daddy drove to his first job when he started taking care of the family. Friend, I'll give you, you've never seen that. But look here, you've never drank, you've never cursed, you've never smoked. You've never carried on in fornication and adultery and all that wickedness like those men I talked to. But just like I told my son when he was 8 years old, I told him the same thing that I tell him guys on death row and down there at the prison, son, you got to repent of your sin. You got to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will save you and seal you and sanctify you and set you on your road to heaven. That's your only way you're going to get to God. Amen. But look here. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is. Some of you all sitting here, your mama is not a prostitute. That is a blessing. Your daddy is not a drug dealer, and you know who he is. Amen. That skinned somebody's hide over you in a New York minute. Amen. They protected you. They watched over you, worrying about you, and prayed for you. But look here, if you're saved, you're just as saved as anybody that was living in the middle of wickedness. Son, I'm telling you, I've never got over the day when the Lord found me in the middle of nothing, and He dropped me off in the middle of everything. Hey, 2 weeks before I got saved, I was getting ready to go to prison myself, and I just throw up my hands every once in a while. I just look at where I live. I look at my family. I look at what's in my heart. I know what I feel. I know where I was headed. I know where I'm going to wind up. And I just throw my hands up and say, thank God Almighty that the Lord came by my way. Amen. Amen. I've been saved so long that every once in a while I think I'm a blessing. Amen. If somebody tells you, you're a blessing, that's a good word. But I'm going to tell you something. I ain't always been a blessing. Some days I'm still not a blessing. Amen. People ask me, they say, how you doing? I said, most people think I'm mean as the devil. Amen. I'm doing okay. Amen. But look here. I remember where I was, and I know where He's brought me. Amen. I wish I could have been raised like my son. I tell people, I raised him totally different than what I was. I didn't want him to be nothing like me. When I was his age, you got me, man, I'd punch you in the face. I said, you can't do that with everybody. Amen. Get your nose broke. Mine's been broke 4 times. Amen. Doctor told me, he said, it's been broke 4 times. I said, I was there every time in Hatton House. I know all about that. Amen. Look here, I didn't want him to be like that. But look here, son, I am so grateful this morning. Every once in a while, I let my mind wander back to that place where I know what I was and I know what was in my heart. And I know that I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Everything I am, everything I ever will be that is good and righteous and a blessing, I'll guarantee I have to point toward heaven and say it was God Almighty. Every once in a while, I believe that Noah, when he was on this altar, he just bowed his head and said, Lord, I want to thank you for the saving grace that you gave in my life. You know what he did? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hey, God had put up with the whole world until it got down to the very last person. You talk about the long suffering of God. I mean, God puts up with a whole lot before He just drops a hammer of judgment on somebody. Thank God, I'm glad the Lord is that way. Amen. Amen. You know what He could have done? He could have let you die in your sins. Could have let you die in your sins, but He didn't. Amen. When's the last time you just went to the altar, didn't ask God for nothing? I like asking God for stuff. I like stuff. Amen? I got 3 Toyota Camrys. One of them is a brand new one. It's got 10,000 miles on it. My wife says, you want to drive it today? I said, no, I don't want to see that car. Too sharp. Amen? I said, my son drives a 2011 Camry with 101,000 miles on it, and I won the lottery. Amen. I got a white one out there with 349,000 on it, and it's a 2005, and it runs like a top. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you, every once in a while, I thank God for all that. But can I tell you something, friend? Every once in a while, I just go back, and I just go to the altar, and I don't ask God for nothing. Sometimes I just go to the altar and I just thank Him for saving me. out of 7 billion people on this planet, one day God Almighty picked me out. It's just like going through an adoption clinic when he said we're adopted and they're going eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Who am I going to pick to be my child and make their life good and make their life better than what it is? Hey, friend, God done that in this world. He put his finger on us. He'll do every man like that somewhere, someday in their life. He will touch them. He tasted death for every man. There will be a place, there will be a time that God will turn the light on and the Lord will give you a chance to get right. Amen. Amen. But every once in a while, you just need to go to the altar and thank him. I like almost, I like my cars. I like my clothes. I used to go about my wife and her closet being so full of clothes. Now mine is. Amen. Guys out here got trucks and $30,000 boats are pulling behind it. Son, I'd just soon eat at Long John Silver, save $30,000. Amen, that's a whole lot of fishing right there. Amen. That's how good it is, though. Amen. I like my stuff. But look here, the older I get, the less that stuff means to me. Amen. The older you get, as you get older, that stuff don't mean as much. And that's a good thing. Look, every once in a while, I just go to the altar, and I just thank the Lord for saving me. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, Noah said, Lord, the whole world went to hell, and he said, out of the whole world, you saved me, and I just want to thank you on this altar today that you saved me and you showed me some grace. Amen. Amen. That's Noah praying. You know how you're justified freely. There's a debt you could never pay. Amen. There's some people that have got more money than they got anything. And that's a good thing. You don't need no broke friends when you need to borrow money. Amen. If you got stuff, don't feel bad. I may come to your house and want something. Okay? But look here. There ain't nothing you got could pay for your sin. Nothing you got. I mean, just one foul thought. And I know you had them. You say, how do you know that? Because you got a brain and it's like mine. Amen. And I've read my Bible and I know what it says goes through your head. But look here. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Hey, when I went to the altar, I didn't have to pay no God nothing. I didn't have to pay no priest or no preacher nothing. I didn't have to do anything but confess my sin, lay them on the altar of the Lord, wipe them all away for free. I didn't even have to wait on the Pope to canonize me to be a saint a few years down the road. I was Saint Larry the very moment I got up. Amen. But anyhow, you saved, sir, you ought to thank God for that. Your wife saved, you ought to thank God for that. Can I tell you, ain't nothing meaner than a mean woman. Amen. I remember preaching in a woman's prison one time. It's crammed full of violent women. And they're sitting there with their arms around their girlfriends and everything else. And you could always tell who the dude was. They wore a mullet. You know, they didn't cover it up none. I told them, I said, I'm really nervous in here. I said, I don't think I can whip half y'all. That makes me nervous. Look, I married somebody I can whip just in case I have to. Amen. She gets mad at me. I don't care because she can't beat me up. I laugh. I said, what are you going to do, beat me up? She can't do that. That's right. Well, look here. It's your wife. That's your best friend. I married my best friend in 1983. Look here. These kids right here, they're all young people, kids, young adults. That got boyfriends and girlfriends and all that. So that's good. You need all that. You're going to need a life partner. Whether it's the one you're sitting with today or not, it don't matter. You're going to get that person. It's real important about who you get. You better do more than love them. You better like them a whole lot. Because some days you won't kill them. Amen? You don't love them as much, but if you just like something about them, he's so handsome, he's going to lose that one of these days. He's going to look like a fella right there. He looks pretty good, though. You know what I'm saying? I mean, here he is, man. I mean, she goes out there, and there's very few women that don't like to shop. Amen? My wife told me one time, I was leaning on a rack, and she said, "You act like that you hate shopping." I said, "Trust me, it's not an act. It's for real." Amen. Like to go out and spend money. That's good. Sometimes they'll spend more than you want them to. Amen. But you know, if you get somebody that's saved and loves God, that means something right there. Amen. Your wife, I don't know if she's like mine. I go to fix something. She'll say, "Why don't you call somebody that knows what they're doing?" I can fix anything. It just takes me a little bit longer. Amen. I tried to fix a pipe one time, and for a day and a half, had water running in my house. Called a plumber. He's done 30 minutes. Yeah, he said, "You preach, I'll do the plumbing." I said, it's a deal. I don't plumb anymore. Amen? But can I tell you something, friend? Look here, every once in a while, she'll tell you everything that's wrong with you. My wife made me feel like I could jump the moon, and she made me feel like I was that big. "You're so stupid." Amen? You ever tell your husband, "You're so stupid, you get on my nerves so much." Amen? But you prayed about it. You got it. You got your prayer answer. I got that on her too. Amen. I love it. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes they can get on your nerves. I tell people my wife's pretty as a doll and sweet as honey most days. But there is a day every once in a while that I get on her nerves, will you believe it or not? Amen. But you know what? I do know this, she loves God more than she loves me, and that's a blessing. She loves God more than she loves her children, and that's a blessing. I know she loves God more than me because she has told me that very thing. She has told her son, "No, I don't love you more than I do God, but I love you more than I could ever tell you." And friend, what a blessing it is if you've got a wife that loves God more than anything in this world, including her children. When Noah came home and he told his wife, "God told me to build a boat, even though it's never rained," it didn't say one word about her fussing and griping and complaining about it. He had lived in such a way that she knew he walked with God. And when he walked through the door, she said, "God told me this." And I'm going to tell you, that's a whole lot right there, son. Yes. When you walk in the door and your wife and your children know a man of God walked through the door, that's something, sir. When you tell them, "God wants me to do this." Amen. And they say, "Okay." Now, I'm going to tell you something. What a blessing it is. Proverbs 18:22 said, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Most people just want somebody to go to church with them. Somebody just wants them to go down there every other on the weekend and just play church a little bit, give a little bit of money, sing a little bit. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost you to serve God Almighty. I remember when I walked in my house and God told me to quit that job and go full time. And she just pretty much let me know, if that's what God wants you to do, I'm in there with you. Amen. 30-something years later, we've been married to soon be 34 years, 29 years at the end of next month. There's things she's done that's helped me be the man that I am. Every once in a while, I just get on the altar and I thank God Almighty that He gave me a woman that loves God, that loves His work, and wants to do something for Him. That means a whole lot right there. Hey man, there's a lot of pretty girls turning into little devils. Amen. I'm going to tell you, these girls here, Hannah and Chelsea and these little girls right here, I've known them for a while. They seem like really good girls. And I think they are. And you too. And you girls too. Your names just slipped me. But all these girls, they seem like good girls. And I think they love God. And I think anybody probably got them probably doing all right. Amen. But I don't live with you. I don't know. I've seen them be little angels at church and little devils when they got out of there. As this girl used to come to our church, this ain't in my outline, I'm just preaching in here. I remember when I first got saved, I'd been in them streets. There's this girl, she'd come in there and she'd
And boy, son, they're just hooing all over her. I said, that's a bad girl right there. That's a bad girl. Oh, she is one of the famous girls at our church. And I think to myself, that's a bad girl. I've been around some bad girls. That's a bad girl right there. And you know what? She was a bad girl. Years on down the road, that's all looking at her. I'm thinking, I ain't wanting to do that. That's a bad girl right there. 30-something years later and three or four husbands later, son, I'm telling you, she's still a bad girl. Amen. You don't want nothing like that, boy. Amen. Look here. If she's pretty and you want to buy her a little trinket, knock yourself out, hoss. That's good. Matter of fact, you girls are demanded. Just demand that he gets you something really nice. If he gives you a box of candy, say, what? What am I going to do? That's what you give them kids that want in the fellowship all while I go candy. Amen. You give that to them little girls. He's got no rings or earrings. Something good. You know, a big old gift card like $500 on it or something like that. Helping you girls out here. Amen. You'll marry somebody like that. Amen. But really, I mean, if you've got a wife that loves God, sir, you ought to come to the altar in spite of everything that you might think she's done down the road, and just instead of telling her every once in a while, just tell God how much you love her and you thank God for her. Hey, there's a lady by the name of Mary that was married to Joseph. It was a good man that got him a good woman. She was highly favored. Them apostles in the Bible, time they went to jail, their wives and their children was making it on their own. As a guy in prison told me one time, he said, I don't need all that stuff. That's for the weak. I said, son, you ain't read your Bible. This was not built on the back of the weak. It was more than just men carrying the load, son. Them apostles' wives. But then you read Hebrews 11. He said they lived in caves and dens of the earth. They were destitute. That means you got nothing with the bottom knocked out of it. Friend, it said that they were destitute. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They had trials of cruel mockings. They were sawn asunder. Friend, can I tell you, when they lead their children into those arenas and kill their children in front of them, them mothers as well as them fathers, that's telling their children it's worth it to serve God. You need a woman that'll love God more than anything. Amen. That's right. So if you got a husband that loves God, man, you ought to thank God for him. If you got a woman that loves God, you need to thank God for her. Amen. Your kids. Kids. God love them. I love kids. I wish I'd had more. But I waited way too late. And my wife, she said, it ain't happening. Dr. Turtle said, don't do it. She said, don't worry. He told her that next one would probably be easy. She said, I guarantee it, I'm going to adopt it. Amen. I mean, but y'all was such a pain to get here. Amen. My parents are gone. They'd probably say, and you was too if they was here and they're sitting back there. My mama would have hollered up here, and you was too. Amen. I'm just like my mama. My wife calls me Eileen all the time. But I love kids. I've always liked kids. Kids seem like they've always liked me for whatever reason. My brother-in-law says it's our brain size. He said it's about that big. He said they associate with you. You're an idiot, and so are they. So I'm going to tell on him before he gets down here to preach for you. He hates y'all's kids. Amen. But anyway, amen. But can I tell you something about kids? They're a blessing from the Lord. Don't you ever believe that they're an albatross around your neck. Amen. Psalm 127 and 3 said, lo, children are inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. You know what I see on a regular basis? I see young men like this right here all the time sitting in prison. They sit in my services and they weep and they cry. And they say, preacher, I wish I could just go back home just for a little while and sit in church with my mom and daddy like I used to. And I wish I'd have listened to them. And some they got 20 and 30, sometimes years of their life. Some of them never going home. Some of them sitting on death row. And all they remember is times like this. If your kid's not strung out on dope, if he's not cussing every other breath, if she's not led around with everything in town, you ought to thank God Almighty they're at the house of God today, not down at the lake, not anywhere else running around with their buddies, but they're over here allowing God to do something with them. Amen. That's right, your kids. weird little creatures that they are, they're going to be different than you. Rhett tells everybody, said, every once in a while I try to act like my dad, it just don't work. Amen. You know why I tell him? I said, because you ain't me. You know, you ever hear the old saying, God throwed away the mold on that one? He did on every one of us. Nobody's DNA in here is the same. All of our fingerprints are different. He made you, he broke the mold, throwed it away. Sometimes your kid's going to think a little different than you. I tell my son, you're stupid. I said, no, it don't work that way. He says, yeah, Dad. But you know, every once in a while, he does stuff and says stuff that I didn't know. And it works. I don't never tell him that. He ain't here to die and tell it. Amen? You always make your kids feel like they're dumber than you. Amen? That's right. But look here, your kids are a little bit brighter sometimes. They got other ideas that just don't fit in your little terminology sometimes. And it's hard to realize that they're breaking out, they're becoming men and women, and they've got their own ideas about serving God. They've got their own ideas about other people, the way things ought to be done. Sometimes, look here, I am a traditional Baptist. Every once in a while, Rhett pretty much is. Every once in a while, I said, Dad, he said, I think this right here would be a good idea. Amen. Now, as far as I know, he ain't done none of that stuff I preached about. As far as I know. But I ain't with him all the time. Amen? Somebody asked about him, and I said, look, all that bragging I done him when he's little, he's grown now. I don't talk to him like that. I tell him how rotten he is, how sorry he is most of the time. And I love to scare him. He'd come out the door, you daddies need to do this to your kid. This ain't my outline either. I started to throw it. It's really funny. You hear him in the room, you just stand there at the door. When they come out and they got their head down, you go, hey. They jump back through the door. It's really good. Amen. But you know why? I got a good son. I thank God for him all the time. You know, and he went out with a couple of girls here about 2 or 3 weeks ago. He said, nope. And one of them, he said, she's a nut. She's wanting to get married, and I ain't looking for all that. He said, I just want to go to movies and go eat something. Amen. He said, I ain't want to get married. He said, I got her stuff on my mind. I said, look, I don't care who you marry, white, black, Mexican, Chinese. I don't care. As long as it ain't a dude, we're all good here. Amen. I don't care. Amen. I really don't. I just want him to get somebody that loves God. But I want to tell you something. He thinks about what the Lord wants him to do sometimes. He said, I got other plans right now. And I said, well, you better put God in the middle of that somewhere. Have your kids or whatever they're doing in their life. You ought to pray for them. But you ought to thank God that they're not a mess. And if they got saved with the grace of God, every once in a while, you just need to go to the altar and say, Lord, I thank you for saving my children. They're not going to hell. But look here. I need to move on. I ain't got no watch on me. What time is it? Oh, man, I got to hurry. Thanks. It's just 12:13. Safety. Y'all like safety? Got to have safety, man. You ever seen that kid drives 100 miles an hour before he goes? Just told on you. I seen her look at you. Amen. But look here. We all know they're going to a very important meeting somewhere in a boardroom filled with executives that's going to change the world. Most of the time, no. He's coming to your house. That's all. She ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm talking about. They do stuff like that. They're in a hurry. I mean, this world we live in, it's a very dangerous world we live in. Extremely dangerous world we live in. Most people don't realize how evil it is. And I'm going to tell you what's going to come your way. Storms, they come. They come in everybody's life. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. They vary. You know, I'm getting a little bit older, and getting old don't bother me. Don't bother me one bit. You know, about the only thing that really bothers me about getting older is people I've known and loved and worked with and served, they're dying. They're just disappearing. And now I'm the old preacher. Amen? I don't like being the old preacher. But I like them old preachers that I hung onto their coattails. Amen? But look here, we live in a world that is changing. Noah's world was changing and God was getting ready to do it in. And when he did, you know what he did? He built Noah a boat that got him out of all that trouble. And I just think every once in a while, he probably was on that altar and he said, Lord, I want to thank you for bringing me through the greatest storm that I've ever encountered in my life. Hey, God destroyed the whole world. Look, that boat didn't leak. It might have got tossed to and fro here and there, but in the end, it landed on dry ground. I don't think Noah ever worried about that boat sinking. He knew it wasn't going to sink. As a matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 7 in verse 2, he said, you take seven of them clean beasts. He knew there'd be a day when he'd be on that altar giving a sacrifice. That seventh clean beast was the odd man out. He knew there's going to be a day when the ground was going to be drying. What a picture of eternal security. Hey, he sees him over there. The ground is drying. He's over there talking to God. He made plans for this well in advance before the rain ever came. Hey, before the first drop ever hit the ground. He said there's going to be a day when I'll have to thank God for bringing me through the greatest storm I've ever had. You ever had any storms? Some people are having physical storms right now. If you've got your health, how fortunate you truly are. The hospitals are full. You need to thank God you've got your mental faculties. That means you need to carry on a decent conversation with somebody. Amen? You need to thank God today. If you are in a place... There's some people, they're contemplating. The bankruptcy court is going to be full in the morning. And I look here, I remember talking to a fellow, his son went to school with my son, and he looked like the world was on his back. And I said, man, what's up with you today? I said, you look like that the whole world just fell in on you. He said, I'm filing bankruptcy here in just a little bit. I've never had to do that. I don't know nothing about all that. But you know what? It was a bunch of money. And you know what? I just thank God that ain't me. Amen. You know, there's some people that are not sitting in church with their wife and their children today. I mean, divorce court is going to be full tomorrow. And you need to thank God Almighty. They just don't get up one day and just say, hey, we're going to get a divorce. That thing has worked its way up to that point and to that day. Friend, I'll tell you, if you've got a home that's totally different than that, you need to get on and hold every once in a while and say, Lord, I want to thank you for bringing me through the worst storm of my life. If your kids are not at St. Jude today, you are to thank God. I can't hardly watch them commercials without wanting to punch one of them fake healers in the face. Hey, man, them guys make me sick. There ain't nobody on death row that wicked. But anyhow, that's just me preaching. You just go through that stuff. The Bible said in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Can I tell you something? If you belong to God, He knows exactly where you're at. That's an amazing thing. Whether you're there by Him putting you there or by your own doing, you're there. But He knows exactly where you're at. He's got His hand on it. He's watching over it. Your boat ain't going to sink either. Amen? I like the fact that my boat don't sink. I tell people, man, us Christians, we don't lose. I said, we have temporary setbacks every once in a while. We have some trouble along the way. And all it does is just sharpen our sword. Amen. If you go through life in no trouble, trust me, friend, you'll never do it. Somebody may break up with you. But it's better than break up with you now than to divorce you later. And you look on down the road. Amen. Matter of fact, that happened to me. This girl broke up with me. I still think she's crazy. I mean, I trade in a donkey for a racehorse as far as I'm concerned. Amen. But can I tell you, my heart was broke. I just couldn't see. But 30-something years down the road, so I'm looking back, I'm thinking, oh, yeah. Old boy done all right. Amen. That's right. Amen. I thought I was going to die in the middle of it. But I didn't die. There's been times in my life when I had cancer. I thought I was going to die. I didn't die through all that.
to see my wife and my son go through things. They didn't die. You know why? Because we're on the only boat floating. Amen. Anyway, let me finish right here. It's 12:20. Now, I told you I could preach longer than y'all put up with it. But anyway, strength to do the job he had to do. You know, when he got off that boat, he had to get everything going. Can you actually believe that the news is saying Donald Trump is not mentally capable of handling the job he's got? I'm thinking he's worth $10 billion. You've got to be pretty smart to make $10 billion. I don't think I got $300 in my bank account right now. He's way ahead of me. I mean, he's got his name on buildings all over the world. He's doing all right. He is the president. Even Bob Corker, don't vote for that idiot, would you? He said, you can't preach politics. I am. Don't vote for Bob Corker. He's an idiot. But anyway, back to why I was preaching. I don't know if he's capable or not to do the job. I'm thinking, Bob, you're a senator. You're a millionaire. He's president. He's a billionaire. You're a loser when it's compared to him. Amen? So don't vote for Bob Corker. He's an idiot. Just in case you didn't get it the first time. But anyhow, this is going to be on the internet. All right, good. Don't vote for Bob Corker. He's an idiot. But anyway, big job. Amen? You're out there. I mean, that's a big job running this country, man. I mean, it's a big job running this church. All these families down here, when I pastor a church, people tell me all the time, well, you know, I used to preach in jail until I found me a church. They act like, you know, I was in the minor leagues and I went to the majors. And I said, really? I said, well, I pastored a church until I found me a good jail, buddy. That's right. You know, God knows where you can go. He knows what you can put up with. He knows what you can handle. That's why he's got some that'll be servants over tens, some that's over hundreds, some that's over thousands, some that's over 10,000s, and somebody driving that vehicle. Hey, he probably got over there and said, God, I don't know how to do all this, but I'll guarantee you this, whatever the Lord wants you to do, he will give you the ability. He'll give you the ability to do it. Most people can't put up with me no more than 3 days. I don't even like myself some days. Somebody told me, I'd love for you to be my pastor. I said, no, you wouldn't. I said, 3 weeks, you'd hate my guts. In 6 weeks, I'd hate you right back. I said, so I'm just going to stay where I'm at. Amen? But anyway, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which have begun a good work and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God put something in you, just do it for him, no matter what it is. That young man led singing this morning, I thought he'd done a really good job. I don't know, maybe he's going to be the next George Beverly Shea. I don't know. You've done all right, though, son. Amen? Some of these young men here, they might be preachers. Now, you girls might want to be, but you can't be. This is a Baptist church, okay? That's why we're going to keep it. Don't vote for Bob Corker. He's an idiot. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Some people's got the ability to fix stuff. Some of you young guys are here, you know how to fix stuff. Them old guys that's around here ain't always going to be able to fix it, amen? I mean, there's gifts and abilities God gave to you, and you need to give it to him. Every once in a while, I'm going down the road. I get a little bit tired of doing what I'm doing. I think about doing something else, and then I think I don't want to do nothing else. Hey, God put me here, and I want to be here till he comes. Amen. He'll give you the strength to do it. But let me say this, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. He had an altar of thanksgiving. I believe that we sometimes just need to go to the altar and just thank the Lord for what he's done. Now, you're going to get a chance to come to the altar here in a minute. Now, you do what you want to. I don't gauge my ministry on how many people come to the altar. And if you don't come to the altar today and thank God for something, that don't mean that I think that you're unthankful. That ain't my business. That's your business and God's business. I'm just telling you what the Lord gave me to give you today. There's some things we just need to be thankful for. Our salvation, amen, our safety, and the strength to do what we do every day. I mean, it's a major deal serving the Lord,
And that's why I told them on a regular basis, be not weary in well doing. For in due season, you're going to reap if you faint not. I've seen a lot of them faint over the years. And I used to was really good at throwing stones at them people. There's one thing you get when you get older. You realize just how vulnerable you are and how more vulnerable you become every day. Look here, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Solomon started out great, but he finished terribly. Amen? Jonah started out great, but the last time you see him, he's mad at God and he's fussing about what God done. Look here, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. You just need to get in the race, man, and just be faithful. You may not be the fastest, but just run your race, run your course. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Brother Mark. Pray that you put your hand on this place. And Lord, I don't know what people need to do. I pray that you take what's been said. And Lord, let them do what they need to do with it. In Jesus' name, amen.